Welcome back, everyone, to the 16th episode of Guildcast. I'm your host, Sean, and with me once again is Ruby. How you doing, Ruby?
Hey, pretty well. How are you?
I'm good. We're a little late this week because, you know, we've had some craziness going on this week earlier, but
it's all good craziness.
Yeah, we usually record really early in the morning, and now we're recording pretty late at night on a Sunday, so the end of our busy weekend.
What is this? Why can't we record, like, during the day like normal people?
I know. So I'm kind of interested to see how this turns out. I do another podcast and I record it really late at night, like 10, 11, 12 at night sometimes, and I'm just dead. By the time I'm done, I just collapse. I'm just like, because that's late for me. I'm an old man, you know.
So do you get up in the morning and edit it the next day, or does someone else edit that one?
Oh, no, I usually edit it the next day or so, yeah.
Okay, so do you get up and then you're like, my gosh, what was I talking about? I was talking about cheese at some point.
I do that with every podcast. I go back and I'll listen to it and I'll be like, what was I talking about there? Like, seriously?
Was that supposed to make sense?
Yeah. So I'm very sorry, listeners, for my rambling.
They seem content. Tell Sean you love him.
Well, so what we're going to do this episode is talk about a little bit more about the Necro. Of course, last episode we knew that the Necro was going to be revealed because they talked about it at Gamescom. But they did the official reveal, the official announcement. They showed videos on some of the skills, and they gave some really great details that we're going to talk about. Also, we have some email to read. We wanted to catch up on that and read a few, not all of them, but, you know, a few of them. And then we have a nice audio bit that was sent in to us by Chiona. And she actually was able to go to Gamescom in Germany. And I say actually because it's just so amazing to me.
So cool.
Yeah, and she got a hands-on demo, and she gives her impressions. And I think that they're really, you know, like honest, heartfelt impressions. You know, there's pros and cons to it. There's kind of the good and bad, and I really like the impressions that she gave, so that's going to be at the end of the episode.
Awesome.
But before that, let's talk about what you've been up to this week. Anything exciting?
Oh my gosh, it's like 9:30 at night. You know, I have really just been kind of trying to wrap things up around the house and get ready for PAX. And that's not like a big lead into, oh my gosh, I'm going to PAX, but that is, oh my gosh, I'm going to be away from home and family for 5 days, and they're all going to starve to death.
Well, you just recently got something that's going to make all of that not matter anymore, right?
Yeah, a plane ticket. No, that's not what you meant. I retired my poor old cell phone. And my cell phone, there's like a big long story behind this, but the short version is the cell phone that I used to have got broken, and my sister gave me her hand-me-down razor. It worked a little less than half the time. I'd get voicemails like 4 or 5 days later. It usually just wouldn't ring at all. So I coaxed AT&T into letting me have my discounted upgrade a month early, and I got an iPhone.
Nice.
And I'm so happy. I love it.
Nice. I actually went from the Razr to the iPhone too, and it's such a big jump.
Oh my gosh, it's awesome. But you know, and I've downloaded all these cool apps. On the way to Seattle, I'm going to be stuck in the Detroit airport for 3 hours. So I've got this app called Gate Guru that tells me everything, you know, all the services and stores and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That are at the, and there's a spa at the Detroit airport. Oh, I was so happy. So I downloaded all of these cool, you know, I've got like the voice recording app ready for PAX and all this. But my favorite thing, I downloaded a book application that has like 12,000 titles that are considered public domain because they're classics.
Oh, yeah.
Or biographies.
Is it iBook?
No, it's just called Books.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Looking at my I was sitting here, you know what, I was actually sitting here reading Tom Sawyer while I was waiting for you to call me.
Isn't that amazing? I have iBook is like that. I guess all those books they're public domain, so you can get them for free. But also Amazon, the Kindle, they have a little Kindle app for the iPhone where you can read those same books. And yeah, I found that amazing. I read like Ben Franklin's autobiography and all these old classics. That's so cool. I love that.
I read, yesterday I read Call of the Wild. I seriously, we were driving somewhere. My husband was driving and I'm like, got my nose buried in the phone because I could not put it down. It's been literally like 20 years since I read Call of the Wild. It was so good.
Yeah.
So that's, and the point of this phone was to have for work. And I'm just reading books. But I love it so much. It's so nice to have a reliable phone.
Oh, it's really, I mean, I could go on and on about it, but one thing you need to get to keep you busy, because I know you won't be busy enough at PAX, right?
Yeah.
Get Pocket Legends. That is a fun little game. It's like
okay,
a little...
Okay, wait a minute. Pocket Legends.
It's like a little MMO kind of dungeon crawler game.
Oh, duh, yeah.
It's really cool. I like it a lot.
Okay, and I had to get Angry Birds because Justin said his wife loves Angry Birds and that I should try it. So, but yeah, I want free apps. If anybody has a good free app that I absolutely need, you should tell me.
Yeah, oh, I'll have to give you a list.
This is like the Ruby's New iPhone podcast. But yeah, I do have, so I've got, you know, all my cool little stuff to help me find my way around while I'm in Seattle and tell me where the cool restaurants are, because I'm probably going to get hungry at some point.
Oh, yeah. Just please promise me you won't get Foursquare. Please.
Okay, Foursquare creeps me out.
Please. Yes, it does.
Because it's like, hey, here's where I am, so my house is wide open. You know, come rob me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
And my sister... My sister actually lives very, very far away, but some friends of theirs got robbed recently. Their house got broken into, and they'd been, you know, they were, oh, we're out of town, and they'd posted all over Facebook and Twitter that there was nobody in their home.
There's actually a website set up that kind of aggregates all of those kind of Twitter feeds and everything. Where it hits keywords, I think, where people who are not home, and thieves can literally go to this website and look at a list of you know, like broken down by area, and they can look at a list of people in their area who are not home at that exact moment. Isn't that crazy?
That creepy as hell.
Yeah.
And nuts. I want no part of it. You're not going to see. No, sorry. No Foursquare for me.
Yeah. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. I like my things. I want to keep them. Wouldn't that suck if I came home and found somebody stole my iPhone?
Oh, man.
Okay. Man. So, yes, I got my iPhone and I'm happy now.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
What about you?
I have been still doing the house renovating thing. I did sanding of floors and all this uninteresting stuff to people listening to this, I'm sure. But
and I'm actually I need to see these floors. I still haven't seen them. I'm very excited.
Yeah, even if we don't sell this house right away, which is very possible in this market, I'm going to be living in a pretty nice house for a while. I mean, it's like a new kitchen, new floors, all this stuff. We did landscaping today. We got all the new flowers out there, and it's all dressed up, and it looks really, really nice.
Hey, you were going to put like hostas in the front. Is that what you ended up doing?
Yeah, and mums and everything. Yeah, this is completely not related to Gildor's.
We've been very busy. We haven't got to talk about your house in a few days.
Yeah, that's true.
And I need to know what's in the front yard.
Yeah,
all right, so
I'll send you some pics.
Okay, awesome. All right, so Guild Wars. Guild Wars 2, even.
Yes, yes. Oh, the Necromancer. And we all know how much I've been waiting for this. I mean, the details on this and everything. It's been very exciting. Of course, this is the one, it kind of dulled the excitement a little bit, I guess, because they revealed it at Gamescom. They said, you know, here is the, you know, here's the info you need, or this is, you know, the Necro is actually in the demo, but the info you actually need, you know, for the details that we've given on the other classes that we've revealed, it's not there yet. We'll give that later, you know, so it's like, oh, come on. Like, we know the Necro's here, but we have to wait a little bit longer.
Yeah, this was an unusual reveal, and I can't decide how I feel about it, because it was so casual. It was almost like the 80 level cap reveal. They were like, oh, and you can play a Necro in the demo.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, I think also, you know, I guess stage one of this, you know, reveal, I guess you could say, was in the book, you know, in Ghosts of Ascalon, when it was like, there's a Necro. People are like, oh,
yeah, we
Necro.
All knew it was coming.
Yeah, I think it was the least, you know, the smallest surprise so far. But still, I think it's, the fact that it was kind of revealed early was overshadowed by the information we did get on Wednesday, wasn't it?
Yeah, because we got the official reveal on Wednesday.
Yeah.
We'd seen, you know, gameplay by then, and this was just kind of the official ArenaNet. Okay, yes, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, you know, I actually, they, I don't know, did we mention this last week? I don't think we did, about the videos that were leaked. Someone actually found the videos before they released them, and they posted them on the forums, right?
Yes, and I don't think we talked about that last. I think it came after we recorded. Yeah. Also, I think I would have remembered an angry rant on Guildcast because I was so mad about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually, on the Guild Wars 2 Guru forums, I said something, and a couple of people really smacked me down. They didn't, because I just felt like it was very, very disrespectful to the ArenaNet staff to go in and find those videos and throw them out. Because they're doing, you know, they're doing this. They're trying to put together something really cool for the fans. Mm-hmm. And people went in and just, you know, well, you're not doing it fast enough to suit us, so we're just going to take it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, essentially what happened is someone went through and searched and kind of was guessing at the URL based on the previous URLs for the previous professions, right?
Yeah, and the skill names that we got at Gamescom.
Yeah, exactly. So they were able to find these skill videos and they post them all over. But I think a lot of places, like Guild Wars 2 Guru was taking them down, weren't they?
Guild Wars 2 Guru was taken. This happened on a Sunday, now that I remember. And I don't think a lot of admins were around because the thread got enormous. I mean, the thread was up for a long time and a lot of people saw them. And then, I mean, I know Regina jumped in and she was saying, you know, please do not post these on YouTube. I think ArenaNet was in there. Anytime they went up on YouTube that day, ArenaNet was jumping in quickly and making people take them down. But but that thread eventually got yanked and the videos disappeared.
Yeah. Well, I was telling you that somebody emailed me the videos links, and I actually watched them just out of curiosity. You know, I wasn't going to post them on Massively or anything like that, you know. But just out of curiosity, I watched them, and I really liked them. And, you know, it was only a couple days before, I think, because like you said, it was Sunday, and then they did the reveal on Wednesday. I think I watched them on, like, Monday or something. Once the official thing came out and it was kind of explained a little bit better, we got to see, you know, exactly what these were, and there was a little bit of an explanation to them. But they break it down. We have one for Doom. We have one for Bone Minions and Putrid Explosion, one for Grasping Dead, which I absolutely love.
Oh my gosh, that was so cool.
One for Locust Swarm, and then one for Life Siphon. So Grasping Dead, that was by far my favorite because it was literally little skeleton arms coming out of the ground and grabbing
and dragging you down.
Yeah, and dragging the enemy down, and that was really cool. I really like that. Would you say that was your favorite?
That was absolutely my favorite. Life Siphon. I keep laughing at Life Siphon
because it's like bubbles.
It looks like bubble tea. That is all I can think of is bubble tea.
I liked it though. I like the fact that the enemy was running away, and the Char Necro was kind of running after him and
sucking little pieces of tapioca out. I'm sorry. It is a very cool skill, and yeah. I love the animation. It's just, I don't know. That's where my brain went for some reason.
On the Bone Minions one and the Putrid Explosion, that one kind of freaked me out. Like those little Bone Minions, they were really creepy. Like with
I felt so sorry for them.
Yeah, and they had that little scream right before they exploded, and they were holding their heads and everything. It was like, oh my goodness.
Look what you did. I don't know that I'll be able to do that. I feel so bad for the little guys. And I know that's probably such a stereotypical girly thing to say, but, you know, I liked it better when they were just mindless and invading my cutscenes and didn't really react to the fact that I was blowing them up.
Yeah. Yeah, I really like these videos, though. I think that, you know, if you haven't seen them already, definitely head over to guildwars2.com and check those out. We'll put some links to them in the show notes. But now, they do break it down a little bit, and they say, they explain a little bit about these videos, but they also talk about the unique sets of skills, the special skills that Necros have. And I guess in order here, we'll go from the blog, but Wells, of course, where anybody who plays a Necro is familiar with Wells, so they just say, essentially, this is the same thing. You know, Well of Blood, they even name by name. They say that this is, you know, one that will give a regeneration boon to everyone within the well. Minions are pretty much the same thing as well. They talk about, there's one big difference, I think, is that they... Once they're summoned, they actually have their skill that summons them changes into a skill that will destroy them. It's their secondary skill. So, I guess, for example, they have one here, the Blood Fiend. So you can summon a Blood Fiend that actually heals its master when it attacks. But then when you press the button again, that the change button or icon, I guess I should say, it has a skill that give it called Taste of Death, which gives the necromancer even more health back, you know, once it destroys itself. So I guess, you know, the trade-off with destroying your minion is you get more health back. And they say that this is, they have one of these for every one of the minions.
I love that.
Yeah.
And because it's so, it's just so handy because, yeah, it's a drawback. You can consider it a drawback because you lose your minion, but it is a fantastic, you can, if you need a quick self-heal, you've got it right there and you can nuke it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's pretty cool.
Take that health. I'm absolutely crazy about that.
Yeah, me too.
I like the, I want to say utility, and I think I'm probably, I'm not quite finding the word I want, but you can interact with these more. You know, in Taste of Death now, you just sort of have to wait for the thing to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or I'm sorry, if you're getting a benefit from the thing dying right now, most of the time you just have to wait for the minion to either get killed or die on its own. And actually, I misspoke because Taste of Death doesn't work that way, but most of the time it's not like that, and I like that you can interact more and you have more control now.
Yeah, yeah.
So please don't yell at me for getting Taste of Death wrong. I know I did.
So another thing they talk about are marks. Now, this is something, I guess it's kind of close to a well. You know, you put these things on the ground. They say it's kind of a combination of wells and traps. Where, you know, they can either be triggered or you can click the icon again and it'll set it off. Which I always love that about Guild Wars, the whole trap system. There are so many games I wish had traps. You know, there, of course, are others that have something similar, but there, I wish there was some that mechanic in so many games. You know, where you can set a trap and kind of sit back and watch something trigger over. I love it. So so the marks are something like that, which it... They can go either way. They can harm your enemies or they can heal your allies. So I think that's kind of cool. It's like the Necro's version of the Ranger's traps.
Again, I love the control.
Mm-hmm.
And I, my secondary in Guild Wars is, well, my alternate main, is that what you would call them? My second favorite character in Guild Wars is my Necro. And that's one of the things that I don't always like is that she's a little more passive than I care for. You know, she either raises her minions or she'll lay down wells, whatever, and then I'm just kind of standing there. Like, all right, this is my thing. If you could get back in the well, that would be great. But again, I love the control where you can hit that again and trigger the things on command.
Yeah, yeah. That is really cool.
It gives the Necro more to do.
Because they don't have enough, right? Like, managing minions and all that.
Sometimes I don't. Sometimes just hanging out going, you know what? I raised my minions. I'm going to go get a sandwich. I'll be back.
So this last little kind of unique set of special skills they have is fear. And fear is, it's considered a condition that's actually removable, but it's unique to the necromancer. This is something that will cause the enemies to run away for a short period of time. And one example they give is actually Doom, which they showed one of the videos. They say Doom will instill fear in a single target. So it's that fear mechanic. I mean, we have that in so many other games. You know, it's a pretty common mechanic. But I'm glad to see it because it's like you actually said this in your write-up. You said it's like common sense. You know.
Yes, you might as well just call it that because the Necro's scary.
Yeah, fear out of a Necro. I mean, that's it's made.
You
for.
Should probably run.
Yeah. So I guess two other things I want to talk about here with the Necro are Life Force and Death Shroud. Now, Life Force is something that can be built up. It's like a special type of energy that's only used by the Necromancer. Now, we've talked about, you know, the warrior has his adrenaline, and there are different things that can be built up like that. You know, before it was just essentially energy. But to have unique little, I don't know how would you call that, I guess, you know, little pools that you can draw from for each class and have it unique to each one, and this is kind of the Necromancer's version, is Life Force. And what Life Force does is it kind of, well, one of the things it does is it activates Death Shroud, and you can activate Death Shroud at any time. We'll talk about that in a second, but Life Force works as energy did or does in, you know, the original Guild Wars, where if anything dies around you as a Necro, you get energy back. And this is something that I think they actually changed it, because it used to be so exploitable. I remember when I used to play an Orders Necro, and you could set it up to where you just get this insane amount of energy, and you'd be casting these spells, and you just, you know...
You never burn through all your energy.
Yeah, because you'd have one guy as an Orders Necro, one guy as a Minion Master, and when the minions die, you just keep getting all of this energy back. And it was just literally, you know, created to be where the minions die. You know, that, like, with Putrid Explosion and everything, and then the Orders Necro would just keep getting his energy up, and he could essentially make the party invincible, which was such a cool... I loved playing that.
They were just a gigantic battery is basically what they were. And I didn't have a Necro in those days, and I'm sad.
Oh, I loved it. I used to play... I mean, I am not one for, like, repetitive gameplay, like learning a special thing and just playing it over and over again, but I loved that. I don't know why. It's just that one was so great. I think it was because I was so important as the Order's Necro, you know? It was like I was loved and I was needed.
Oh, it's almost like you were a monk.
Almost.
So about the abuse.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like an undercover monk, I guess.
Okay.
But it was a lot of fun. Yeah. And so I guess this is kind of like that same mechanic with the you know, getting the energy back when something dies around you, but it's called life force now. And it goes a lot farther than just energy.
Yeah, and it looks like you get it for making a kill too. It's almost like a cross between soul reaping as we know it now and adrenaline.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what I forgot to mention right there, was the soul reaping. That's the whole reason to get the energy back.
Sorry.
No, I'm glad you said that, because I completely forgot. But yeah, like you said, you can not only get it from the deaths around you, you can get it from kills, you can get it from special skills, like utility skills. One named by example is Ghost Armor. It says it improves the Necromancer's armor and adds life force every time they take damage. So... that, I guess, it kind of leads up to Death Shroud, which is the one I'm really excited about here.
This is freaking awesome. I can't wait to try this.
Oh, I know. We explained before about the downed state. You know, when, say, a warrior gets downed, he's not dead, but he's downed. And, like, he has all these, his skills change before this downed state. Well, Necros have something a little bit different. They're not, you know, they don't fall into one knee and sit there and, you know, have that. They actually turn into this, like, spectral state, like this ghost. and it says that they have this, their secondary life, or secondary health bar is made up of the life force, and this, when it builds up, is when you can enter the Death Shroud. Now, you can either enter Death Shroud at any time, you can enter it at any time once your life force is high enough, or you'll enter it automatically when you're in that down state. So in the spectral form that you enter, that I mentioned, there are some pretty cool things. Like, you have a shadow fiend that you can summon. And this, again, is unique just to that the spectral state of Death Shroud. And they say here, I think this is kind of funny, and I wanted to talk about this for a little bit, but they say, with the ability to tap into Death Shroud, necromancers are certainly one of the most durable professions in Guild Wars 2. Some people took that and they kind of ran with it, which I think is funny. And over at Kill 10 Rats, which we love, Zubin over there, Zuban, I guess you pronounce it, he wrote a little post. I think this was today or maybe the day before. I think it was today. And he's talking about how people took, Ravius wrote a post about it, and he took Ravius's post, or people took Ravius's post, and they ran with it. And they said that necromancers are now overpowered because... they said here that it's most, you know, durable. So Zuban, he says, I love this so much. He says, it's not just that people are commenting on balance for a game that they've never played, for which they have no stats, where the game does not even exist yet. It's that people have already chosen their classes and preemptively started calling for nerfs and buffs.
They have. And yeah. I just have no words. I'm just like, okay. I don't think I can convince you of anything otherwise.
Well, I mean, it's funny that he says that, because it's true. It happens in every game. You know, people are already talking about Star Wars, you know, the Old Republic, like what they're going to be and how it's overpowered and how this needs to be changed, and the game isn't even out yet. So I think that's just you know, what happens in situations like this. People are excited. But it's just that one line right there, you know, saying it's one of the most durable professions in Guild Wars 2. People take that as it is the most durable profession in Guild Wars 2 and it needs to be nerfed, you know. And it's like, no, that's... I want to see the people who write these things at ArenaNet, and when they read the forums and they're just like, I didn't say that. What, like, what are they doing?
We should tell them that the Necros are going to have Shadow Form. Wouldn't it be fun? That would entertain me for weeks.
Yeah. Well, what's funny, though, actually, you mentioned Shadow Form, but the Necro can actually wield dual daggers, which is... That's kind of crazy.
I'm interested to see what they're going to be able to do with those daggers.
I mean, like here, okay, it actually lists the main hand weapons. They can have an axe, a dagger, and a scepter. Offhand, dagger, focus, and warhorn. And then two-handed, they can have a staff. So an axe and double, you know, dual daggers? That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that means there's going to be necro skills set up just for an axe. I mean, you know, certainly there will be. We know this for sure because of the way that the skill system is set up. So it makes you really, like, wonder what are they going to have for axe skills for a necro. I don't know.
It's got to be poisoned at some point.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's really cool, though.
Oh, I know. You could speculate on that all day. And
yeah.
I don't know. So far, and I think it's probably just because it's what we've seen, I love the Warhorn for the Necro.
Oh, yeah.
Locust Swarm. I got to try that.
Yes, the Locusts. I actually, one of the videos shows Locust Swarm, and it's so creepy. Like, even the sound, you know? I don't know. They did a really good job with that. I really enjoyed that. And I like how the Necro in the video is kind of running around, like tagging everyone with the locust swarm. Here, have some locusts.
Well, look what I have. I have plenty. It's okay.
Trick or treat.
You know what, though? That's something that I actually liked quite a bit. I was impressed at, and I know we've only seen two, but I was very impressed with the versatility of the Warhorn according to class. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, because, you know, the ranger called the birds to come peck the guy's eyes out or whatever. Yep. And then the Necro actually spews locusts from the thing.
Now, I don't think every class has access to the Warhorn, do they?
No, the Ellie does not, and I'm looking now going, crud, I can't remember if the Warrior does or not. What would come out of a Warrior's Warhorn?
Well, I didn't know if it was maybe something that was, you know, kind of a rally call, one of those types of things, like to kind of buff, because they do have the party buffs too. I didn't know if it was something like that.
The Warrior's Warhorn buffs damage output.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it better when it calls forth horrible animals to do damage.
Or creepy little insects.
Seriously, that was so cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, I think I don't really need to say it anymore, but I am so excited for the Necromancer. And, you know, now I just have to pick which race I want to play for the Necro, because we know that the Asura and the Char and the human will have access to the Necro. Actually, I believe there's a chart somewhere someone was telling me about. I'm not sure, but... and the Silvari, I mean, you would imagine because of the book.
Well, the classes... We know the classes are not racial specific.
That's right. That's what it was. Yeah, because I knew... I'm thinking... I know I read that somewhere.
Yes, there is a chart. It says, yeah, you can do that. That's the whole thing. But yeah, you can... Every race can play every class, which... This does not help your decision at all. I'm so sorry.
I know. Actually, yeah, it's so funny that I said that because I feel like an idiot. Because we actually have an email where somebody says that. Because we talked about that last episode. We're like, yeah, no, can you play every class? And someone was like, here you go. It's on the wiki.
Yes.
Pay attention.
Well, but the problem with that is sometimes we talk about this stuff on the fly. We're unscripted. I mean, and then you're in the middle of talking. You're going, okay, crap, no matter what I say, I'm sure I'm going to get something wrong because I can't remember off the top of my head.
Yeah, well, my biggest problem is I'm like, wait, was it Guild Wars or was it Star Wars or was it, you know, was it Warhammer 40K or what would you, you know, it's just like, oh, I forgot which one.
There will be space combat in Guild Wars 2.
Oh, heard it here first.
Yep. Okay, so yeah, the Death Shroud is undoubtedly... That's just the most appealing thing to me at the moment. And I'm kind of disappointed we didn't see a video. But I think ArenaNet probably figured everybody's heads would have exploded because it was just that awesome. But I'm looking forward to it. I love that the Necro actually feeds off death. It just, it all fits together so nicely.
Yeah.
Very, very happy about this.
Yeah. I am so excited to play one. Yes. And I think right now, until they show me the Mesmer videos and information, I'm saying that Necro will be my first character.
Really?
But I haven't seen the Mesmer videos yet.
And you still have to pick a race no matter what.
Oh, God. This is so hard.
I know. You're going to be buying as many character slots, aren't you? As absolutely as possible.
Yes, I probably will.
Because let's see, you can have 40 combinations.
Oh, jeez, don't tell me that.
And that's without even getting into commoner and noble and...
Oh, jeez.
I am never going to see you again.
Well, yeah, I can tell you right now I'm going to be buying multiple accounts. Yeah, especially with no sub fee, you know.
Yeah, that just sucks us in more. Yeah. And we love it. We love it. All right, so there's the Necro, and there's our rhapsodizing over the Necro.
Yep, our fanboy girl over the Necro. So I wanted to read some emails, and we have some really good ones. That I wanted to talk about. Here, let's see. The first one here is from Chris, and he says, so much to talk about, no time for hellos. Guild Wars 2, oh my god. Now on to my first impressions of Guild Wars 2 from the leaked video. Now, this was sent in 9 days ago, so this was when the video from Gamescom was leaked, you know, like immediately. As a hardcore Guild Wars person, I actually didn't like it for two reasons. First, because I was watching it frame by frame as that site was getting owned. He's talking about the bandwidth.
Yeah, that hurt.
Also, when that video did load, it was nothing that I was expecting, mostly because of the huge numbers and huge char. Although, then the clouds parted and the heavens opened, and by heaven, I mean someone uploaded it to YouTube. everything changed, and since then, with all the videos that have come out, especially the 35-minute interview, one with the two devs, my thoughts are right back on track as a fanboy. To put it simply, there hasn't been one thing that I hated. The graphics are so sharp, the boss battles are epic, and even the filthy Necro scum profession doesn't look too bad. Hey now. I'm so insanely excited about it that my guildies have limited me to only a couple Guild Wars 2 points a night because apparently I talk a lot. last points I promise. Number one, I would totally go see Sean Land to see where Guildcast started, and yes, a pic of the sign is a must. I need to do that. Now that the front is all landscaped, I can actually not feel embarrassed about it. Number two, oh my god, crazy bald German man, better not be at PAX, he scares me, bleeding ears for the loss. talking, of course, about the guy who was kind of the, what would you call that guy, like a promoter kind of a guy?
I don't know, he's kind of frightening. But you know what, I have to say that I don't think the sound issues were his fault. Yeah. And here's why. We laughed, and we were in the Massively chat room and just cracking up going, the guy has got the mic touching his tonsils. That's all. And it's just this giant thing of distortion.
Yeah.
But then I watched later on that afternoon, and he's like screaming bloody murder, and it was crystal clear.
Yeah, I think they fixed it, yeah.
Yeah, there was something up with the gain, but I don't know, he's like a crowd rally cheerleader chanting guy.
Yeah, someone was saying that they hired him last year, too. I guess they've done that a few times with him.
Well, I Googled him. This is like his job. This is what he does.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know, I mean, it was like, he after a while, the same chants over and over again. It was like, I don't know what he's saying, but man, he's got to get a new line. But
he was yelling mama, and they said papa, and then I think he did like black, white, and it was just like he's looking around all Kaiser Sose going, what can I see?
But I mean, he definitely got the crowd going. Those guys were going crazy in the crowd, so that was, he did his job, he earned his money.
They wanted t-shirts was the thing.
Oh.
So, yeah. But, you know, you could tell, and this is what I got to laughing at, later on in the day, you could tell the people that had been there for every single one, because they're standing there with their arms folded just looking at him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, can you throw t-shirts now?
Actually, I don't know if I explained this. For anyone who didn't watch the videos, we're talking about the guy who was standing on stage at Gamescom on there was a live NCSoft feed that was going on, and he was there you know, standing on stage, kind of getting the crowd riled up and throwing out books and T-shirts and all this stuff. And he was getting everyone ready, and then they would bring out the devs and, you know, do interviews and stuff like that. And kind of, I think Martin Kirstein kind of took over from there. This guy would get him ready for Martin, I guess you could say.
Yeah, he just, you know, winding up the crowd and keeping him occupied and getting him excited.
Yeah. But it was on the live feed, yeah.
Yeah, it was on the live feed. At one point, he actually, like, went backstage. And it was great because everybody was back there. They're, like, lounging in chairs and kind of relaxing. And I think somebody had, like, a DS. And they all looked up like, what are you doing? Because he's dragging the cameraman with him.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but he had fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so the next point he has here, number three, forget the children and save the hospital. He puts muhahaha.
I can't have orphans in my home instance.
Number four, next profession I'm thinking assassin/rogue, because we just got a caster, and I think the two new professions will be at the end of the reveals. Oh, we could go on and on about that. Right?
We could. I think everybody's got like a mathematical formula.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not knocking it. I do too.
Yeah. And his last point here, he says, this is a question from a friend. What happened to the red dots on the radar? Is it normal that the enemies don't show up on the radar in other MMOs? Another great show. Well done, Chris. Yeah, actually, well, a lot of games vary. You know, there are ones that have the red dots on the radar. There are ones that don't at all. There are ones that don't have it until you're facing them. You know, you can turn around and kind of your field of view only shows where the red dots are. I guess a lot of people have been talking about this. They don't have the red dots on the radar anymore.
I'm going to miss my red dots.
Yeah.
I just, you know, it's something I like. But I can live with that. I can get used to it.
Yeah, I think so too. Which, I mean, some people have been saying about the UI. I think that's kind of everyone's biggest concern. And not to spoil Chiona's audio that she sent in, but she says that too. And I don't know. It'll be interesting to see if that's the final product. I mean, the game isn't even in testing yet. You know, it's not even in beta testing. So who knows if that's what they're going to actually keep or not. Okay, so this next email is from Mark. It says, hey, guildcasters. Very careful not to say any names first or second.
They all care about this so much.
Yeah, I know. Everyone.
But it's okay. I like it.
Yeah. Good show again. Just want to correct that it has been confirmed that there are no race-specific professions. This is the email I was talking about. There it is right there. It's on Guild Wars Wiki, Guild Wars 2 Wiki, and it's in the FAQ.
See, I told you.
Right there. Under gameplay profession, he says. Thank you and keep up the good work. So there you go. I mean, I stand corrected with tail in hand, however that goes.
I think it goes like that. But there is shame, so we're good. Yes. We can move on. It's just hard to remember that stuff on the fly sometimes.
Yeah, but I mean, I totally knew it because I read these emails beforehand. Actually, that's the first time I've done that in a while, but I read these emails beforehand, and I read it when he sent it, and I was like, oh, and I checked out the link, and I was like, yeah, that's something I totally should have known, but I didn't. And then I knew it again, and I said it earlier in this episode, and I'm like, oh, wait, yeah, that's right. Yep, podcasts, right. Gotta love them. There's no erasing. Well, there is, but we don't like
it. But just a little bit. I mean, most of this is just us yapping. In a good way.
Yeah. All right, so this next one, it starts out and says, hey, insert intro order here. It's Ryan Galen's player again. I've been waiting for the class reveal before emailing in a response again, and it looks like that was a good choice since we're kind of on the same wavelength. Now, this is from 8 days ago. Getting straight to the predictions, there are two possible patterns ArenaNet could be following here, and we won't know which one, if either, is being followed until one or both is disproven. Theory number one. They are keeping the newest stuff in reserve and plan to release the returning professions before getting to anything new. Under that theory, the Mesmer would be next since it is the last to be traced back to prophecies. Theory 2. They are trying to keep the scholar, adventurer, and soldier categories balanced for as long as possible. This would make anything left but the Mesmer up next and everything else up for grabs. Okay, that makes sense. And then he goes on and says, either theory could easily be proven false, but I'm putting my play dollars down on theory one, making the Mesmer and the next profession to be revealed. Of course, he's talking about after the Necro.
Right.
moving on to questions. I have three. I'll make them brief since anything Sean doesn't cut anything short when he reads an email, and I'm already going on long. Question one. With the disappearance of short-term energy management and a movement away from quarter-second reaction times, how do you see the Mesmer appearing in Guild Wars 2? They would obviously have a control focus, but I'm drawing a blank beyond that. So the quarter-second reaction times are taken out? I didn't know that. That would completely do away with fast casting, and that saddens me.
Well, but is fast casting... I mean, fast casting is great. I love it. And one of my Guild Wars friends, she loves to make fun of how slow my Ellie is. So, you know, for that, I'm kind of glad, hey, Tina, you can't have fast casting anymore.
I think Ellie's and Necros should have something called slow casting.
Shut up. So what do you think... But what do you think about this? How much of a focus was that for you?
Well, it wasn't a huge focus. It was more of a PvP thing. And then it was like for big bosses where you had to interrupt, you know, like the Kraken. That's the one that always makes me think in factions.
That res skill, yeah.
Yeah, so I think, you know, interrupts in general, even with the Ranger, it's pretty important. That's something that, that was the one that you didn't really get answered, right? We wanted to ask that, right? So maybe with that taken out, you know, they're kind of avoiding that issue on the Ranger, and then we don't have fast casting on the Mesmer, maybe we won't have interruptions anymore. Which I would hate, because I really like that mechanic.
You know, that's one of the fun things about Mesmers, and I hesitate so much to speculate at this point, because I get to this point where I'm like, you know, there's no point in trying to figure out what they're going to do next, so let's just sit back and watch and see.
Yeah. Well, and I think as far as a focus, if they did take away that, the focus for the Mesmer in general isn't really interrupts anyway. You know, it's although fast casting was kind of their big thing, was their primary attribute. But I think that maybe the Mesmer of Guild Wars 2 will be more about trickery and more about, you know, being that trickster that can play tricks on people and can do a lot more kind of debuffing and kind of cursing, you know, things like that.
You know what I'm thinking of is something that you showed me ages ago, and I wish I could remember what this blog was, but this person was talking about playing against a Mesmer. And what they said was, if you attack, it hurts. When you're fighting a Mesmer, if you attack, it hurts. If you try to heal your party members, it hurts. If you try to defend yourself, it hurts. If you stand there and do nothing, it still hurts, but a little bit less. And that's the Mesmer I would love to see in Guild Wars 2.
Yeah. Yeah, I would too. I definitely would. I think that with the different, you know, branches of how you can play a Mesmer, you know, I for some reason, I don't know what it is, I tend to think that maybe they're going to go with a more of illusionary. You know, they're going to make it more of like a magician, sleight of hand kind of... you know, illusionist kind of a thing. I know it's going to have options. You know, there's going to be different branches of it. I know that, but I don't know. I just think that that's kind of how it's going to kind of be played out. I'm hoping.
The Mez is a pretty versatile class as it stands now. They've got so much to choose from. They can cut it. They've got room to cut things out and still have a lot left. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm really excited. I hope that's something that we'll see. But you know, we have no idea right now. Complete speculation.
But we want an idea, so, you know, yeah. Please give us something.
Yes, please. Please, ArenaNet. Question two. Mind weighing in on the Blue Lady debate? I heard Ruby mention Paladin, though I'm not sure if it was in jest. I'm personally leaning towards Paragon, though only in name due to the weight of the name in Guild Wars. Only thing I can theorize with gut certainty is that they'll be the inheritors of the monk's magic of preservation. One mustn't forget about the bloodstones after all. That's very true, the bloodstones. I think... I don't know, what do you think?
Well, I think I was kidding about the paladin. That was just... that was not honest speculation. That was just me throwing it out there. You know, sometimes I talk and words come out of my mouth and I'm not really sure what happened there. I think that was one of those cases. I can see some sort of, like, holy warrior class. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I honestly, cannot. I've thought about this, and I honestly cannot get anywhere past that. I have no idea where they will go with that, or where they would even go with that.
Yeah, I really. That's what it kind of the way I think it is too. If it is, who knows? It might just be a curveball. You know, it might be something that they threw out there to kind of throw us off and make us spend time on a podcast talking about it. You know,
Well, it worked.
Yeah, it worked. So I don't know. I mean, but I think if they are going to release that class as something like that, I think it probably would be a buffer. It would be something that uses a lot of prayer, like the monk, you know, and that whole holy warrior thing, which is a paladin. You know, that's essentially what a paladin is. I don't know if they're going to name it that, but I like how, you know, how this person actually put. Let's see. Yeah, I'm personally leaning towards Paragon. Kind of like one of those things that they'll still use the name from the original Guild Wars. I don't know. Who knows?
You know what would be awesome? And I don't know. Someone will have to tell me if they have, but ArenaNet has been saying there will not be a dedicated healing class. Mm-hmm. They didn't say there would be no monk. How funny would it be if our next class was a monk? And it was more like a DDO monk.
Yeah, the acrobatic monk, yeah.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
So that's... I don't know. Maybe I should put a little bit of money down on a monk.
Yeah, wouldn't it be incredible if they were like, the next reveal is a monk? You'd be like, what?
Oh. That would be great. Mm. So, but I don't know. If I don't think that they've ever specifically said there will be no monk. As far as I know, the only thing they've said is dedicated healing class. So if I'm wrong, somebody correct me. But and that would be awesome if there was a monk.
I know I would hear Loudon Swain just scream with joy from all the way from here.
Well, no, but it wouldn't be that kind of monk.
I know, but just the monk, yeah. Like the name. Just
hey!
Okay, so this last question says, what's Ruby's game plan when playing the PAX demo? Wandering like a doe-eyed tourist, sprinting across the landscape in attempt to see every corner, or charging as deep as she can into the personal story? Hope I haven't taken up too much of your time, whether if you read this on air or not. Hope you two enjoy your cons. That is a good question, number three there. What is your game plan?
All right, here we go. I have two. Okay. I am hoping that, you know, I'll get the full demo in a work capacity. And my goal there are going to be two other people from Massively there, so I'm going to have somebody film. I am going to be after the details. Mm-hmm. I haven't decided on a class that I'm going to go for yet. My game plan as far as class and race is going to be to look at the wiki and see where the least amount of information is, mm-hmm. and go in that direction. I want to see starting weapons. I want to see traits. I want to see specifics of landscapes. I want to see the specifics, the finer details of events. And I want to see the specifics of armor and all of the different pieces. I don't think I'll get to play with the die system, but I am going to try. I think I've got Justin scheduled to pull the fire alarm. No. So that's... when I'm doing it in a work capacity, it's all about the details. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's something that we were missing quite a bit of in Gamescom. And it's not that anything was lacking. It's not that somebody wasn't doing what they were supposed to. But it's that there was just so much to see, and people were viewing it like with a wide-angle lens, so to speak.
Mm, yeah. At the same time, it's, you know, when you get to something like that, it is really hard to focus. You know, it's, you're kind of like all the stuff at once, and you're like, I don't know where to start. I imagine you'll be taking, like, pictures or whatever.
And video, yeah. Whatever else. Yeah, I'm trying to find a suitcase big enough to fit a demo station in. I keep saying that. I just want some swag. You have 45. You can spare me this one.
Well, you know what's amazing is now you have that iPhone. You can take pictures and video. You can actually take some pretty good video with that. So there you go.
You know what? I have a little folder. I have a little app folder here labeled recording stuff. And it's got my camera in there. What else is in here? It's got my camera and my video stuff, and my app is called iTalk Lite. And
oh, cool.
Yeah, because I don't pay for apps. I just get the free stuff.
Me too.
So I'm all set up. But then I absolutely intend to find time to get in line and just go play as a fangirl.
Yeah.
And then I will be running all over the landscape. I want to see everything.
Well, I got you a really early appointment on the first day. for like the worst thing. Actually, I was bugging them about it before they even started making appointments. I was like, okay, I'm just getting my name in here now. Like, we want early morning the first day. We want to get Ruby in there. And they were like, well, we're not really taking appointments yet. It's January, so no. And
And your driving is great. It's 2008. Can you just stop?
So when they started, they were like, well, here you go. You get your first choice. And I was like, yes. So I said, first thing.
And actually, the DDO and LOTRO appointments are before there, and I think
Oh, that's
Justin's
right.
doing that, but I intend to be there for the DDO stuff, and I'm going to have such a hard time paying attention. So we're going to, yeah, we're going from DDO and LOTRO, and then a few hours later, we're heading over to Guild Wars 2, and
Cool.
I will have all kinds of good stuff for you guys.
Awesome. I'm so excited. It's going to be really
Yes, and
cool.
I'm taking requests if there's anything that you really, really, really need to see.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea because, yeah, they have a couple days before you leave, so.
Yeah, I am leaving early Thursday morning, so if there's something you want to see, I'll make a list and I'll look for it. And don't tell me the next four classes. I ain't helping you with that. I can't. I should
Well,
save the reason.
if the fire alarm thing works, then maybe.
Yeah, we're gonna try. But no, I am going to try very hard to get through the demo twice. And I'll have to stand in line for ages, I'm sure, but I'll read a book on my iPhone. Yeah, so but there's my game plan, and I will have pictures and video, and lots of little typed out words.
All right. This next email, this is kind of our longest one here. This is from Yo Star Logic, who I don't. He writes in all the time, but I don't know if we really get to read a lot of his stuff. So I wanted to read this because it's actually a pretty well thought out impression from the demo from Gamescom, and it's kind of negative. So be prepared for that. It says, "Well, Gamescom has come and gone. Gameplay videos are abound, and now I think we all have a pretty good idea of what Guild Wars 2 will be like. Just like every other MMO that has come out over the last 5 years." He says. "I wonder, am I the only one who looked at the gameplay videos and was woefully unimpressed? It was exactly as I expected it to be, and I had low expectations. Guild Wars 2 is going to play largely like any other fantasy MMORPG that we've already seen, with maybe 5 to 10% actual change or innovation. Combat especially is par for the bloody course. It's the same old kick each other's shins until one of you falls down, mindlessly kill every little speed bump in your way with no real skill or challenge involved." It says, "God, the AI sucks so bad." Wow. "Mind you, they did remove some of the repetitive, grindy, and linear aspects of combat and leveling, so that's a plus at least. That in itself doesn't really upset me that much because I saw it a mile away. What really gets my knickers in a twist is oh so typical PRBS that we always get about gameplay and combat, that it's all new and innovative and that you've never seen anything like it before. I can't help thinking, what do they take me for? And from ArenaNet of all people, I would have thought they'd known better. Mind you, to give them some credit, they don't do things nearly to the extent other MMO development studios have done in the past. Colin Johansson recently said, and when you play our combat, you will say, that's incredible, I've never seen anything like it. Whenever I see statements like this, I know from experience that they are being disingenuous, that it's not going to be nearly that good or even all that different from what we've already experienced, and this is just the PR hype machine at work. But what upsets me isn't that they are crapping us.
BSing us.
It's that I think this PR move of hyping the game and making claims that you can't possibly support ultimately does the developers and their studio damage in the long run, because we tend to remember false promises. And also, it's not like they're really marketing to people who have never played an MMO before. If that was the case, then they could get away with it. But as MMOs have been around for so long, we all know the drill, and we're all experienced to some degree, and I think most people can instinctively tell when they've had the same gameplay experience before. And when you try to sell us the same gameplay experience as if it was something 180 degrees removed from anything we've already experienced, then is it any wonder why so much venom is generated as a result? If, however, development studios were more candid and honest with us about what we were likely to get and temper expectations a bit, then maybe we wouldn't think that they are a lying pack of douchebags after playing their game, and it's realizing that it's not really all that different. And not that I think ArenaNet are lying, but some might think that when their expectations are not met. I would at the very least take them a lot more seriously if they did. Don't get me wrong, I'm still planning on getting Guild Wars 2 when it comes out. It's just I'm not really expecting gameplay to be all that different or hold me nearly as long as the first game did, although the jury is still out on dynamic event systems that they have planned. But to be honest, even that's starting to sound like a gimmick now, like public questing from Warhammer. The only thing I can really give ArenaNet a lot of credit for is that Guild Wars 2 is gorgeous looking. They've always had especially talented artists. Good to see they're making good use of them. I could talk more, but this is getting a bit much as is. But then, it's not like I'm on the podcast now, is it? Har har. Take care of yourselves, kindly, yo. The reason I wanted to read this is because, you know, we do kind of fanboy and girl out about the game a lot, and we do talk a lot about the things we love, and we get into this kind of thing where we're like, yeah, that's going to be really cool. Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And, you know, and I understand. I mean, that's us. That's just the way we are. That's the way we really honestly look forward to this game. But I think it's good to kind of show the alternate side of that. You know, Yo here is not really impressed with the game at all from what he's seen. I mean, I don't think that he was at Gamescom. I think that what he's talking about is the videos that he saw. So, you know, that's something to factor in. But also, I mean, the videos were pretty clear. There were a lot of them that were, you know, the kind of things that he's mentioning here are based off of that. You know, there's nothing really going beyond that. But personally, I think it's not really fair, and here I am being a fanboy, but I don't think it's not really fair to judge it off of a few videos you saw in the, you know, the first kind of reveal on the game that's not even in beta yet, you know. But that said, I think it's fair enough. I think a lot of the stuff is fair enough. You know, he has some genuine concerns here. You know, he doesn't want it to be the same MMO that we're always getting. He, you know, number one. Number two, the hype thing is killing MMOs. You know what I mean? Like, people are so sick. I guess it's games in general, but people are so sick and tired of hearing that this game that, you know, X company is developing is going to be the second coming of Christ, you know, and they hear, I mean, like he said, Warhammer. Warhammer is always the example for this. You know, Paul Barnett went nuts, just going crazy in videos and appearances, just talking about how Warhammer is going to be the greatest thing ever, and a lot of people just kind of bought the game based on that, and then they were like, wait, what? Like, this?
What is this?
Yeah, like, we heard public quests were going to be the greatest thing ever, and it's not, you know, and I think that's exactly what people are worried about. Yeah, we heard this all before with Warhammer, and it turned out public quests were so dependent on things like, you know, having a full party and having, you know, you can't run into a public quest and do it yourself, but, you know, with one person. And there were a lot of things that I think Mythic didn't think about or maybe didn't think would actually become a problem in the public quest system, and here we are hearing about it again in Guild Wars 2. People are saying, you know, it's going to be this giant event, and it's going to happen, and all of your friends are going to join in. You can join in any time, and, you know, but what if there's only one guy there, you know? I mean, they do say it's going to scale, so I think that's very important, that something that Warhammer actually doesn't do. So there's that, you know, that would probably, if it works well, would take care of a lot of things, but we just don't know yet. You know, we haven't, there's a handful of people who have played it, you know, and Ruby will be one of them next week.
Yes, oh my gosh. Not to get on fangirl, but...
Yeah. And I'm really excited to hear kind of, you know, not only if people have questions for you specifically to kind of find out in the demo, but also just, you know, what do you think? I mean, even when we saw the videos, you were not, there were parts, like we talked about last week, that you were not impressed with. So I think it's safe to say that you're not going to be completely blind to any kind of problems. You know what I mean? You're going to see problems and you're going to say, oh, you know, this
I don't like,
gonna,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're gonna and say, that's the flip side of having my expectations raised this much and being this excited about it. And I think you would be the same way for the same reason. Yeah. My expectations are high. Now, are you going to meet them or not? But I need to, I hate to base anything at this point on, and this just may be the way I prefer to learn and experience things is hands-on. And I hate to make solid judgments just based on what I saw from some videos in Europe. Mm-hmm. And that's not to discount that, but, you know, I need to get in there and get my hands on before I make a call.
Yeah. I really think, honestly, when you take into consideration how many other game companies do things, you know, there are the ones that hype a game for years before it even launches. You know, we hear about who's making the game. You know, like Tabula Rasa is a good example. You know, Richard Garriott's making this new game. It's going to be great. We don't even have a plot written for it yet, but it's going to be great. And, you know, and we heard about that stuff in, like, 2004 or something, you know, before the game was even created. With Guild Wars 2, we have to remember, we have to look back and kind of consider everything here. You know, they announced the game very early on because of the fact that they had to let people know why there were no more chapters.
Right.
You know, and that was they were really stuck there. I mean, they had to say it. So I think the clock started ticking for a lot of people right then. Mm-hmm. And then they had when they had that PC Gamer article, they talked about, you know, world PvP, and they talked about a lot of the things that they want to bring into the game, you know, auction houses and jumping and swimming and all this stuff. And that was the only info we had for years, you know, like 2 years. And, well, I guess almost three. But, and then, you know, this year, and the end of last year, we really started to hear a lot of the stuff that they've been building up. And I don't really consider that hype, because it's the information that we've been begging to hear for 2.5 years. We're hearing it, and now all of a sudden it's called hype, you know? It's like,
you know,
I don't get it.
Yeah. I think the closest thing to hype that we've actually gotten so far is the manifesto video.
Mm, yeah.
That's hype. The rest is just information. You know, we were asking for it. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to fault them for giving us what we've been screaming for.
That's a good point. The manifesto video is pretty much hype. It's pretty much like, this is what we have so far. This game is going to be amazing. And then you get this developer saying, this is going to be amazing. And it's kind of, once opinion starts going in there, it's kind of like, well, I'll be the judge of that. You know, let me play the game, and I'll be the. Just tell me the facts. You know, tell me the facts about the classes and the skills, and show me the videos. But don't tell me the game's going to be amazing. You know, so yeah, I guess I can see that.
I can too. But even that, and this, maybe the fangirl in me, but even the manifesto video, I liked, because there's something about seeing firsthand how passionate the devs are, mm-hmm. and how truly, truly excited they are about what they're making. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, that's the upside for me. But it was a hype.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I definitely did like it. It's pretty cool. But yeah, I just put that stuff kind of, you know, filed in the back of my mind whenever I hear someone making the game telling me that it's going to be revolutionary or amazing. It's, you know, we'll see.
Please don't tell me how I'm going to feel about it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, Yo, thanks for the thanks for sending that in, because I think that was a good, a really good email, and
definitely.
I think there are a lot of people who really feel that way, but they're maybe afraid to speak up about it because there are so many fanboys and fangirls out there, you know, and they feel maybe it's kind of the opposite effect, you know. At Massively, whenever there's a story written about certain games, all of the comments are negative. All the comments are about how much this game sucks. You know, Age of Conan or Warhammer or whatever. You know, all the comments are like that. So, a lot of times, people are afraid. People with you know, positive opinions about the game are afraid to post a comment, and so they just don't do it because they don't want to get shot down. And I think it's kind of the opposite with Guild Wars 2. You know, so many people are psyched about this game and just going nuts over it, that aside from the forums, which I think are kind of a unique case because people will voice all of their opinions there, aside from the forums, I think generally people are kind of afraid to say if they don't, you know, if they've picked apart something that they didn't like about Guild Wars 2 or that they've seen. So yeah, definitely thank you for the email. It's definitely, it's appreciated.
And it makes a good point. And I promise for you, Yo, I will be watching with a very critical eye while I'm at PAX. How's that?
Mm-hmm. There you go. okay, so this last email I want to read, this is from Mooble, which is kind of a cool name. It says, "Hello, Sean and Ruby. I found some leaked Guild Wars 2 music tracks on YouTube, and there's two links to some YouTube." Now, I don't know. I checked these out. There's actually a whole bunch of them by this person, and I don't know if they're completely leaked, because what it is they took them from the videos, the background music, and they kind of compiled them, and they're saying, like, this is the soundtrack. I'm not positive about that. I'm not positive if that's all they did. Leaked, I just think that that's kind of a dangerous word that may not apply here. I don't think that, I don't know. Although, you know, NCSoft, they are, well, and a lot of other companies, they are pretty guarded about getting the music out there. You know, they want people to buy the soundtracks, you know, of course. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to put the links to this in the show notes, because I don't want to directly perpetuate if it is a leak. But it's essentially, it's the music that you find in the demos that, you know, that we've seen in the videos we've seen. So
okay.
I don't think it's a big secret. Anyway, it keeps going on. It says, "I also found an idea of how long it takes to get to level 80. In this interview," and there's a YouTube link to it, "at 1 minute and 40 seconds, he states there's about 12 hours of gameplay in between the human and char content shown in the demo. Now, if you level at an even pace throughout the entire game, and it takes 12 hours to go from level 1, the human area, to level 47, the char area, that means level 80 will be reached in about 20 hours of gameplay. If this is the case, I hope there's plenty of content and storyline to go through at max level, like in Guild Wars 1. Keep up the good show, Moogle." 20 hours of gameplay is not a lot, and I think that this is like, I don't know, it's like dissecting, you know, one little part of of something much, much bigger, and then saying, you know, I hope that that's not all there is to it. You know, they've talked about all the other things that they're going to have in the game, and, you know, world PvP and events and, you know, your personal storyline, which I imagine what this is, versus, you know, your kind of persistent storyline. And I don't doubt that there's going to be a lot to do. Even using this formula, like, I think what he's basing it off of is the fact that they said leveling is going to be even straight across the board. So if it's 12 hours to get from 1 to 47, then, you know, 20 hours to get to 80. I think maybe they're talking about not doing anything else except just the storyline, you know what I mean? If that's even possible, I don't know.
I don't like figuring out how many hours it takes to get to level cap. Because it sounds like, how fast can I get this done with?
Yeah.
And that's not the point of the game for me. I don't, at this point, from what I know, I could not care less about level cap. I don't care. I think there's going to be, and again, this is speculation based on what I've seen. I could wind up being wrong. I expect there to be as much to do at level 10 as there is at level 80.
Yeah.
And I just want to go see it. I don't care how fast I can put it behind me.
I think one of the things that I remember when Factions came out is that you couldn't just run from the beginning to the end like you could in Guild Wars 1. Like, you know, people, they get excited when they're sitting in the Ring of Fire and with their level 2 character, because they, you know, they got to run from Drachner's, and they got to run here, and they got to run through Thunderhead Keep, and, you know, so they get the, just so that they can be a level 2 standing in Ring of Fire. And it was possible. It was entirely possible, and people did it just because they could. I mean, I even did that with my Necro to get 15k armor at, like, level 2, so I'm guilty too. But I think that when Factions came out, they made it, they kind of added some barriers there, so you couldn't do that. And I really like that, because it made it so that people would have to stop and go, wait, I have to do a quest? Like, I can't just run through the whole game? What's going on? So I really hope that they maybe learned from the, you know, the kind of, I don't want to say cheating, but, you know, the way you could get through Guild Wars 1, not quest-wise, but, you know, geographical, you know, the geography of it.
The thing in Factions, as you know, having to unlock these areas by playing through the game, to me that's just like saying, you know, you bought this game, we thought maybe you'd like to play it.
Yeah.
And so we're going to, you know, we're going to kind of encourage you to maybe play this game, because last we checked, that's why you bought it.
Yeah.
So yeah, point. I would like to see something like that. Just play the game. It's okay.
Yeah. You might like it.
I would hope so. If you didn't, you know, Sean needs more counts, then give it to him.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wrap this one up. That's our last email. So, but before we play Chiona's her audio impressions of Gamescom, I just want to remind everyone that you can email us at Sean@guildcast.com or Ruby@guildcast.com. That's Shawn and Rubi. You can also check out our Twitter and Facebook pages, and check out the main page where we'll have show notes for this episode and all other episodes at guildcast.wordpress.com. And I think that's about it from us. So next week we will be at PAX, so we will not have a show. Well, you will be at PAX, and I'll be at Dragon Con. I'll be there in spirit. How's that?
We'll be conventioning.
Yes, we will be conventioning. So we won't have an episode next week, and then the week after that I will actually be gone as well. So we will try to record an episode early on, like sometime in between there, and kind of get Ruby's impressions of PAX and everything.
What's that next week? I feel like I should know this, and I've forgotten.
Oh, I'm going birthday party at a friend's house.
Oh, okay. I actually now I think I remember this, but I promise I'll have lots and lots of good stuff for you for the next one.
Yeah, so it'll probably come out in the early week after PAX instead of, you know, later in the week. We're just throwing off the schedules. But then after that, hopefully we'll get back to normal.
Yes.
As soon as someone buys my house and makes it into a National Historic Site. Then
yeah, you got to do that. Get the cardboard and the Sharpie, and you know what? I'll bet you have an old paint stirrer, don't you?
I have like 20 of them.
Okay, there you go. Bail one in the ground. You've got a staple gun. I'm sure you have a staple gun.
Yep.
Yes. So there you go.
I have a pneumatic staple gun.
Ooh. Hey, my husband got all kinds of cool tools for his birthday, and I had to ooh and ah over them, so I'm in practice.
You're very good at it.
Thank you. All right, so we will be off schedule, but for very, very good reason.
Yep, and we'll see you all then. Bye-bye.
Hello. You probably don't remember me from the original Guildcast, but I was in the video episode, and I was the Elementalist with the cute armor. I had the opportunity to go to Gamescom last Saturday, and I thought I would share my experiences with you guys. I arrived a few minutes early and walked through the east entrance right at opening time. I had previously looked at maps of the center, and so I made a quick beeline for the Guild Wars 2 demo, hoping to get in line before there was a huge queue. I got lucky. I managed to get in third place behind one of the computers, although there were many demo screens that already had 5 or 7 people behind them. And this was at 9:05. As I love Elementalists and I hate the Char, I opted to start a human alley. At first I did things that there are many videos of online, guarding the garrison, defeating the Earth Elementalist, fighting the Broodmother and Shaymore. Then I went to Divinity's Reach and listened to a tiny bit of my personal story, and I bought a book to get the Lava Font skill. Wanting to do something different, I ran around outside Shaymore to explore. First I ran past some river scale that, although they were a higher level than me, they ignored me. Thinking myself invincible, I charged ahead into enemy territory. Then I ended up getting my level 3 character killed pretty quickly by some level 7 centaurs. Oh well. In the last 10 minutes or so of time I had, I ran the opposite direction from the centaurs and found an event where I was supposed to save Farmer Meppy's moa birds that had been captured by bandits. I wasn't the only one playing in the event, which was good because I died a ton. We saved the moas just before my time was up, so I switched to 2 minutes to cast a few water spells and looked at my inventory with the final moments of time. And to me, the game feels very, very different than Guild Wars did. I do not like the new interface quite as much, but perhaps it will grow on me. I don't understand, for example, why the health bar is now a circle, and the skill icons look more cartoonish to me. The new 2D backgrounds and 3D character cinematic style is also a big change I'm not quite sold on. The gameplay feels faster, and I would even say more involved. I loved the difference that moving while casting spells made. I don't think I can quite describe just how big a change this makes in the way you play, at least as an Elementalist. In Guild Wars, if I come under attack while casting a spell, I have to balance the loss of energy I'll get by canceling the cast to kite, with the damage I'll take to finish the spell. In this demo, I could run around and still sling my flares at different targets as I went. While I practiced my rolls a few times, I was never able to really dodge anything by using them. I guess once you know the skills better or more used to the controls, dodging out of the way will be more practical. Also, Elementalist spells can now cause critical hits, This was always exciting when it happened, because I would do more damage than I expected to. It is hard to judge the event system now, as ArenaNet said that they were running events extra frequently for all the demo players to get to see them. But I noticed that a lot of people were running straight past the events. I must admit that even I ran by a group of bandits burning a field because I had seen the person in front of me play that event, and I wanted to see new things instead. And I didn't stop to fight the Broodmother the second time I saw it appeared. Are players in Guild Wars 2 really going to want to stop what they are doing to help in these random things happening around them? I also have my doubts about the replayability of some of these events. Even if these chains can be manipulated, will that be different than going to repeat an old mission was in the original game? And if the idea is to feel that you can really affect the world, is it going to feel that way if you run past the area later and see the exact same group of bandits attacking again? Not that it matters too much, since there are so many different events and things to do. I'm sure I'll be busy for ages before I even think about redoing stuff. I wish I could talk about the amazing sound effects that I heard were supposed to be in the demo. Sadly, the room was so loud that even with the headset volume turned completely up, I could only barely understand the voices and the cutscenes while reading the subtitles. The many layers of ambient sounds were completely wasted by the shouting crowds. And while I'm complaining about equipment, the mouse sensitivity was really high on the unit I was using. I didn't waste demo time with hunting around for a setting for it, but that took a bit of getting used to. Finally, I'd like to mention that the graphics are, as everybody expected, stunning. I've heard people think from watching videos that the area is all dark with really bright enemies. I know this is subjective, but when I was playing, I really didn't feel it was too dark or gloomy. Running through Divinity's Reach was very bright, and the area you revive in after the elemental battle reminded me very much of Freesearing. This may partially be because it had little worms in the farmer's fields and river scale to kill. Only now the worms and scale are a lot prettier than they used to be. While fighting bandits in a cave, the area was dark, but no darker than something like Underworld, and after all, caves should be dark. So I think people should wait until they see the colors and contrast levels for themselves before judging, and keep in mind, these sorts of things are usually adjustable anyway. The other highlight of my Gamescom experience was getting to meet Jeff Grubb. He signed a copy of Ghosts of Ascalon for me, which it turned out was in German. I can't read any German, but at least I know that my copy will stay pristine this way. He was very friendly, even though I was not the first person to complain to him about the ending for a certain necromancer. He said he was happy that he got to write her in, even if the ending was disappointing. All in all, Gamescom was mostly just loud, but I had a great time playing the demo and seeing familiar ArenaNet faces, and I definitely encourage anyone who has a chance to go to PAX to take it. I had high hopes for the Guild Wars booth, and I was not disappointed. I just wish I had brought some earplugs.